and then to hide them. Christianity requires first for us to die. In dying to our sins, we are made alive to God. A long time ago, the Romans tried to persuade ancient Christians to renounce their faith by threatening to kill them. And they tempted them with such phrases as, "Save your life," or "Don't throw your life away." But the martyrs, they saw the deception in that ploy, and they gladly surrendered their lives for the honor of Jesus' name. Did they throw away their lives? No. For now they are more alive than ever. Being a Christian consists in this: being called by the gospel out of our deathly ways into true life, that is, fellowship with the body of Christ. It consists in being cleansed of our sin and lovingly conformed to the image of the Son of God. What image? The image of the Son of God, that very one who is crucified for us and raised up again, that image. It is hard to be a Christian. Well, it is hard also to be a pastor. There are many qualities that a man ought to possess in order to be a good pastor, not the least of which is great courage. Yes, you must be lions to proclaim Christ rightly. And make no mistake, you will be hated for it. But the promise of Christ applies to you, that those who endure to the end will be saved. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him shall I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Confess him. Well, what is a confessor? What is confessional? You who wish to be sent by God must weigh the words of Jesus who said, "Behold, I send you as sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." Christ's ministers are his angels upon the earth, angels with glad tidings of great joy and peace to men. But it is the herald of peace that stirs up the lovers of war against us. Being a confessor means allowing God to proclaim himself through you, which means that your frailties and talents must decrease from the equation. Simply being correct in an argument is not confessing Christ rightly if pride puffs you up in the doing. Smugness is not one of the virtues, otherwise we'd be the saintliest of men. Do not mistake cynicism for integrity. To confess Christ before men is not a bitter task to be approached grumpily. It is to portray him clearly in our words and our life. Confession is in speaking the speech of God, in doing the deeds of God upon the earth, and in living the life of God, so that God's mission of bringing sinners into the truth is carried on in us. We enter at the font. In holy baptism, we are brought into an astonishing solidarity with our Maker. We are pressed into the stamp of the death and resurrection of his Son. We who are full of sins are lifted up from our corruption and made anew. As we are in Christ now and he is in us, we portray him to the world of men as he portrays us to the Father in heaven. The confessor will be confessed. And it is in portraying Christ before men, in our bodies, with our words, that we will most assuredly share in his sufferings. Thanks be to God. The student, after all, is not above the teacher. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher. But I say to encourage you, do not fear what a man can do to you. There is joy in bearing in the common sufferings of Jesus. Otherwise, our Lord would never have said, "Blessed are you, happy are you, when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me." Are we startled by the words of Jesus who said today, "Think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Jesus, after all, is called the Prince of Peace. And his advent was heralded by angels who sang songs of peace on earth. And then later, when one of his disciples drew a sword to defend him, he ordered the man to put it back in his sheath, saying, "They that take the sword will perish by it." His kingdom is not of this world, and because it is not, he told Pilate that his servants would not fight. How then can Jesus speak of sending a sword? Well, friends, there is more than one kind of battle. Obviously, he is not talking about a weapon forged by human hands. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He means to say that there will be great disruption in the fabric of our society among sinful men wherever the word of God is. Blessed are the peacemakers. But our peace will not be fully actualized, realized, until the opposing powers are overcome. Sometimes you have to fight for peace. You may have to contend for it a little. And sometimes resisting the evildoer will cause a rift among friends. Fellowship with the light will, after all, alienate us from those who love darkness. It's painful to hear, but our most intimate associations on earth may be rent apart because of our alliance with heaven. Even the tenderest attachments of this world must come second to the clear and accurate portrayal of Jesus and the embodiment of his word. These words of Jesus are not, however, a general call to belligerence. His disciples did not literally live by the sword, hacking away at their enemies, and neither he nor they provoked antagonism by showing a quarrelsome, argumentative spirit. Yet, Christ did not draw back from the prospect of conflict either, nor did he permit any compromise on the part of his followers. Indeed, truth must be spoken. Errors, they must be exposed, and sins shall be denounced at any cost. Let the Christian steel himself and be prepared for some opposition. But if it is for the sake of representing Jesus, sweet and gentle Jesus, the tenderest shepherd and bishop of our souls, well, then it is honorable and no shame. On the other hand, if all men speak well of you, then you had best search your conduct to see whether you've been faithful, or whether perchance you may have been speaking smooth words for the sake of ease and utility. Amen.